Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, April 8th. This is the 59th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. For those who tuned in last week, I was out of town, so I hope you enjoyed our re-aired episode with photographers Ken Goodman and Melissa Holm. Now, today my guest is a top culinary agent, and I will introduce her in a moment. But first, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip. Then later, we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to be proactive. Take initiatives. Don't wait for things to come to you, but seek opportunities for yourself and for your clients. Pitch, follow up, and take action. You can make things happen with just a little extra effort. So go ahead and be a visionary and control your destiny. That's my tip today. Now, my guest today, I'm very happy to have here. It is Alice Chang. She is the founder and CEO of Culinary Agents, a professional networking and job matching site dedicated to the food, beverage, and hospitality industry. Alice is a deeply experienced business, marketing, and sales professional who is passionate about helping people build careers. She spent 13 years at IBM in New York and San Francisco, and also worked in a restaurant, later studying food and wine as a hobby. She brings her knowledge of technology into the food and beverage industry to solve inefficiencies and gaps around talent sourcing and career development. Welcome, Alice.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you here and learn more about culinary agents. Love that you're a culinary agent. Yeah. At least that's what I'm calling you.
Amongst other things, I think.
Yeah, well, your background's very interesting because you were with IBM for a long time and now you've moved over into the hospitality industry. So tell me a bit about your background, how you decided to make that switch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was in food service for many years prior to working at IBM, mainly front of house, server, busser, working in a hotel catering department, as well as home waitress. And I loved it. I loved the camaraderie. I loved working with the back of house and the teamwork. And then I went to get, you know, to go to school and to get a quote-unquote real job. It wasn't something that I saw as a career for me long term. But what I realized is I kept in touch with, and all my extracurricular activities were in the food industry. So I would go on eating tours with my friends who later went on to culinary school. And so it was always around me. And as I was at IBM, I specialized in cross-industry innovation. So how to solve problems in an industry with technology and digital media, you know, back in 99, which I'm dating myself now. But, you know, we're solving problems like how are people going to watch videos from their phones in the future, right?
In the future, yeah, I get it.
And that was really fascinating to me. So I became part of the initial digital media team at IBM, which was like a startup within within IBM. And we got to work on all sorts of cool things, like bringing you know, NBA.com to fruition and helping PGA.com come to life. And then I ended up focusing on digital media, specifically around video distribution, and that's what took me out to the West Coast.
Oh, because I was going to ask, you grew up in New York City?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So you got all that. You got all that experience here.
I did. Okay. I did. And then when I transferred out to San Francisco, I was there for 5 years and really was able to kind of immerse into kind of the technology scene. You know, Facebook was just moving there. Netflix was my baby. I was assigned to Netflix, and I worked with them on their online streaming, progressive streaming product, which was very exciting. Got a little taste of startup life from an outsider looking in, because I was working at IBM, a big company, and I loved it. But I spent my free time with my friends who were working in restaurants, who were owning restaurants and taking trips to Napa and visiting vineyards, etc. And that really was where my true passion was.
So you decided to follow this passion, I'm gathering. And then how did you come up with the concept of culinary agents?
I did. So while I was on the West Coast, I now had a network of industry people on the East Coast and West Coast. And my friends started calling me and asking me, you know, hey, my buddy's moving out to, you know, West Coast. Can you hook him up with something, you know, of a good job? And I realized that I was kind of connecting people, finding great jobs in restaurants and catering and freelance, et cetera. But one friend in particular was a dear friend of mine and still is today, was a chef, and I watched his career progress. And I would always be his helpful person, you know, help him with his cover letters and his resume and career advice. And I was like, don't chefs have agents? Or, you know, isn't there somebody that helps you, you know, when you have these types of questions? And he said no. And then as I watched the industry change so dramatically because of media, I noticed also technology tools like social media, Facebook, LinkedIn were also becoming very prevalent on the technology business side and helping with career development and transparency, et cetera. But there aren't tools to support the development of food, beverage, hospitality professionals. And I said, you know, you guys really need this like LinkedIn / Match.com for jobs, but designed specifically for you, because there are so many different nuances and challenges that you have. And it's just a different industry. So, you know, so I bought the domain name very early, and I didn't do anything with it back in 2007, because I was had a, you know, career that was flourishing.
Had another job.
I was preoccupied. And then in 2012, I realized, you know what, like, I'm not seeing it happen the way that I think it should, and I'm just going to build it.
You just do it yourself. Yeah, yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah. It was pretty scary, by the way. It sounds a lot easier than it was.
It is scary, but there was something I recently heard someone say, if it's not scary, everyone would do it. Yeah. You know, if it was easy, everyone would take risk, would, you know, open their own companies and be rich.
Oh, I think it was Ina Garten at the Cherry Bon
Jubilee. Oh, was it? Okay, I did not, I kind of messed up that quote, but I got the gist of it.
I understood.
Okay, yeah, it was. Yeah, we saw each other at Jubilee.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so you took the plunge in. So now, how did you, tell me more about culinary agents and the services, because it is more than just a job matching site.
Yeah, absolutely. So we knew, you know, having just have spent a lot of time with people at all different parts of this industry, front of house, back of house, operators, et cetera, I knew that, you know, a typical approach, you know, probably wasn't, and nobody needed another site to sign up to and another email that was going to come to you. We really needed to add value up front and figure out how can we actually solve a problem, save people time and money, and how can we support both sides of the equation. This was not just about businesses who would post on Craigslist and get hundreds of emails and sift through them and you know, post again, etc. This was also about talent, not quite having a professional tool to help them represent themselves, to showcase their skills and their talent, to reconnect with people that they might have worked with in a different city, and then they moved on and lost touch, you know. And even with Facebook and everything, which is great with reconnecting, there is a difference with representing yourself professionally, seeking job opportunities in different cities through one tool, and being able to connect and get on employers' radars without, you know, in a very efficient way. So it was, how do we help the talent, you know, represent themselves, connect, you know, find opportunities and apply and get on employers' radars, but also how do we help businesses, you know, have a tool that essentially takes a lot of the burden of this, you know, off their plate, you know, automatic matching that sifts through based upon skills and requirements in their job posts, as well as a whole tool on the back end to help them manage, message, take notes with different managers around an applicant. And what's been great is that as we've, you know, because we're a technology-driven company and a tech startup, we've been able to work really closely with our early adopters and take the feedback and make the changes. And I think that's what really kind of got our early adopters to really continue to support us very heavily, because they realized that, you know, between our technology capability and our industry expertise, we're able to really shape a tool to help them. And that's our goal.
It makes sense. It's wonderful. So you have, so people, chefs looking for a job, they can, how does it, is there a fee to sign up and you just load your resume? Like, I was playing around with this, as you know, and I know you can connect LinkedIn and I can be on it even though I'm not looking for a job.
Yep.
But as a PR radio host, I can have my own profile and be in the community, right?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that also kind of added to the overall idea of this professional community was that, again, going back to this chef friend, Jerome Abiston.
yeah, give him a call. Give him a little shout out.
you know, he was getting featured in a magazine overseas and he needed a professional photo. And he didn't have any connections to, you know, he needed headshots and needed pictures of his food taken. And he didn't have that network or somebody that he could reach out to do that. And not necessarily, you know, a bundle of money that he could put towards something like that. And, you know, I was able to just, you know, through my connections, find somebody to help him. And he was able to barter with, you know, a meal. And it was great. And I was like, you know, between the other professions that make up this ecosystem, you know, really wonderful, you know, food stylists, you know, PR, marketing, accounting, whomever, this culinary agents really is for all existing and aspiring food and beverage hospitality professionals, people who may have become a career changer, spent many years doing something else and decided that they want to take that profession into this industry. We've been successful with helping, you know, restaurant groups we work with find social media managers, find accountants and bookkeepers and people who really want to be in the industry but may not have spent their time, you know, working in a restaurant or... So it's really about bringing together the professional community and making those opportunities available and visible.
So once someone signs up and they have a profile and then a restaurant signs up or a food stylist, then they can seek each other out through searches. When you say help them, I mean, how... Tell sure. me more exactly how that's working.
Yeah, absolutely. So so the short answer is yes. But to your previous question, it's free to join and have a profile.
Okay.
Much like you would create a profile on, you know, LinkedIn or Facebook or whatnot. And it's pretty basic. For talent, you know, you can search different sections of different jobs, take a look, forward them, see other jobs that are teed up next to what you're looking at. We also really, and I personally believe heavily in career development and mentorship. And one of the things that, you know, I pioneered at IBM was this thing called virtual mentorship, which was essentially kind of a one-to-many type of mentoring. We have a section on our site called Get Inspired, which emulates basically leaders from all different parts of the food, beverage, hospitality industry, and their advice. And we showcase their timeline, how they got there. And it really is humbling to some, especially kind of folks who may not be as familiar with, you know, the hard work it takes to develop a meaningful career anywhere, you know, may be just really excited because they watched a television show to see how hard people, you know, work to get to where they are, and maybe how different their path was, and they may have had different experiences, but then also the advice that they give to young or aspiring professionals. So there's a lot of things you can see on the site that even if you're not looking for a job, it's meaningful. And you know, our support with, you know, just starting our series of networking events, for example, to bring the community together and, you know, post-shift have some drinks and bites, all ways to kind of connect online and offline.
I love it. I love that you can see someone's track record and get inspired and their advice. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, it's a great tool to have out there that people can use. And you were telling me of these networking events. So is that something you recently started and you're I know you have one coming up.
Yeah. So we just started this year. We want to do a couple East Coast, West Coast. We're in 30 cities, so we had to kind of pick and choose a couple.
You answered my question before I asked it. Oh. I was curious how many cities you're in. Okay.
Yeah, we're in 30 cities, really targeting and focusing on 10 of them by going deep, working with the schools and nonprofit organizations and doing, you know, some marketing and events in the area. But we've got... you know, one upcoming in New York. It's actually going to be at Hill Country in Brooklyn on the April 21st. And actually, while we're here, and we saw it's very timely. There was an email that I got yesterday about a Kickstarter campaign for Heritage Radio Network and their new website. So I'll put this out there for all folks who RSVP and join our industry party at Hill Country Barbecue Market on April 21st in Brooklyn. We will donate $1 for every person who comes to the Heritage Radio Network to their Kickstarter campaign. So
that is fantastic. Thank you so much.
And you can quote me on that.
Okay, anyone listening? Yeah, we did just launch this Kickstarter to rebuild the Heritage Radio website, and anyone can find that on Kickstarter, and we love your support, and that is so generous of you and wonderful. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay, we're going to take a little break here, come back and talk more with Alice. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Alice Chang of Culinary Agents. Now, timely news I saw on Twitter yesterday that you have a new industry advisory board.
Yes.
So, absolutely. And it's an impressive list. So how did that come about, and what is the advisory board advising on?
Yeah, well, and thanks for highlighting that. You know, I'll preface this by saying there has been so many people that have supported us from the beginning, and we, you know, we've grown tremendously. We're just about 2 years old. We're in 30 cities. We're you know, working with hundreds of schools and, you know, thousands of employers, like almost 3,000 of them right now. And so other than the eight that we have here, which I'm going to talk about a little bit here, you know, this is kind of a public thank you to many who have supported us. So we're so excited to announce this, you know, diverse group of leaders. Some of them were just obvious for us because they understood right up front what we were trying to do. It's different. The Culinary Agents approach, you know, what we're building, you know, my personal vision, it was just something that is different. And with behavior change, sometimes you get a little resistance, and sometimes people can see the vision and they jump on it and they want to help you and support. And these folks here early on saw what, you know, I was trying to do, because in the beginning it really was, you know, it was just me, and supported it. And by supporting it mean, you know, having their teams get behind it and being tolerant to knowing that they used it and maybe that button didn't react as quickly as they thought it would, but they told us and we fixed it right away. And to them, it was proving that, you know, we understood, we were hearing, we were in it to win it, to develop this tool to support them and the community. And they recognized that by helping us make the tool better and supporting us, they were helping the overall community, which was great. And you know, we've got folks on the service side, we have folks on the wine side. We've got two masters on liaison on our advisory board of eight, which is amazing. Tried to cover, you know, we've got food, wine, well, culinary, pastry, operations, HR, and schools. And I'm sure that this will grow over time. But for now, we're going to start off with these amazing individuals.
It's great. I mean, I'm familiar with several of the names, and I know Anthony Rudolph was one of the people, and he's coming on my show in a few weeks. So that's exciting. And Gavin Kaysen, and I keep talking about Gavin on my show, keeps coming up. But really good, talented people and impressive restaurant groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, a lot of, you know, we've got Anthony Rudolph, Bobby Stuckey, who's owner of Fresca Food and Wine, Gavin Kaysen, chef owner of Spoon and Stable, Johnny Zuni, founder owner of Sugar Fueled Inc., Julie Secfiar, HR director of Thomas Keller Restaurant Group, Kimberly Galvin, VP of Operations at One Off Hospitality Group, Ron Hayes, who's the Associate Director of Career Services and Culinary Institute of America in Sabato Cigarria. Sorry, Sab. Chief Restaurant Officer of Union Square Hospitality Group. So it's really an amazing, diverse group of people who really are committed to supporting the growth of you know, building this resource for the community.
It's wonderful. It's a great list. I'm sure they will be a great team to be working with. So I want to see. So my last show I had on Beverly Steven and Jim Porras, and they were formerly of Food Arts Magazine. So I asked them to ask you a question. So they wanted to know if you had a format for acknowledging the people who are job seekers. Beverly was noting how people often apply for jobs and it kind of goes into this black hole.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way the site is set up is you can set your personal preferences and actually say that you're looking for a job or you're just here to network. And as you select what you're actually here to do, that, you know, gets triggered into the system and things come to you appropriately. So if you're looking for a job, you start seeing matches come to you because we're assuming that you're looking for a job. And then if you check that you're no longer looking for a job, you're not going to be getting things. But for example, if you apply to a job or if people are applying to a job, it really is that manager's responsibility to respond to the applicant. We make it really easy in a dashboard manner so the businesses can manage the process, but the talent can also see what applications they've got outstanding that are currently in the queue. So other than a black hole of, like, let me send my email to, you know, info@off of the mm-hmm. website, and maybe you don't actually know it was received by a person, because of the community and the fact that businesses have profiles on our site that they manage, there is more of a kind of a connection that is made for the site. And you can follow up on the site and see that your follow-up has gone through. But, you know, that this industry is high volume in all aspects, right? If you have a desirable position and you have you know, a lot of applicants with the tools to manage, you know, sometimes managers just don't get back to them for whatever reason. You know, they filled the position and they didn't have time, or they don't want to tell them that they filled the position and want to keep them in their pipeline, right? So,
right.
It just is
what it is.
the good thing is what we're seeing is that because of the simplicity of connecting and how we have it laid out, we do see managers getting back to applicants in a fairly quick manner because they're looking for people, you know, and we've got quality people, and there are a lot of quality people out there looking for jobs.
Yeah, matchmaking.
And they're nervous, you know, that that if they don't respond, that we make it so easy for other opportunities to get teed up to the talent that there's other, you know, other jobs they might be applying to.
Right. Well, what jobs are being sought the most these days? I know from earlier in the year, I was talking about line cooks there's a shortage of line cooks. I don't know if that's still the case. Are you seeing that, like more applicants or more people looking for a particular position?
Yeah. You know, I used to say when I saw something that was about shortage of line cooks, as a lot of people asked me, I would say, you know, there's no shortage of line cooks. There's a gap in the expectations of a line cook.
Aha.
because it's such a broad term, right? So, mm-hmm. but line cook absolutely continues to be a very, consistent posting. You know, we right now our site is 40% back of house, 53% front of house, and 7% office or office and admin and other. So it's a pretty healthy split. So I would say, you know, for the and that's the user side, and the posting side is very similar. So I would say line cook is always a position that continues to come up. We're seeing more of pastry side. I don't know if that's due to more like baking and, you know, pastry and more specialization, but people are getting more specific with what they're looking for. And that's across the board. You know,
I was going to ask, is there a difference in trends or what's being looked for between East Coast, West Coast, or the other cities you're in?
Yeah, well, I think, for example, in San Francisco, you know, the fact that the public transportation isn't as widely available and, you know, living cost is high, it does make it more difficult for folks that are, you know, not making those types of wages to be able to live in the city and then get home, right? So I think those types of factors play into it. And then, of course, with Seattle, with their minimum wage, and I think all those other factors play into it. But it's pretty common
across the board.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you see the need for the hourly staff just as much as you see for salary. Turnover for hourly may be a little bit more, but we've seen a lot more requests of general manager. Or those types of positions, and because our site allows you to actually post your job in other cities, we've had a lot of people. We're seeing that on the back end, where somebody may be looking for a general manager in New York, and they'll post it to match in Chicago and Philly and Boston and Miami and San Francisco.
Yeah, well, just thinking the other day, it happens to me on LinkedIn. I connect with people in the industry, and then their follow up. It happened the other day. A GM. We connected, and then the next was a message, let me know if you know of any job opportunities for managers. So now I know what my response is.
Absolutely.
I know about culinary agents. I think in this industry there is a lot of turnover and people moving up or wanting to, you know, shift around.
Yeah, and that ties in directly with kind of the type of the tool and what we also promote, which is, you know, your job is just a stepping stone to the next, to your career. And what we're seeing now is more people looking at, looking more longer term in, I want to work for this restaurateur. I want to work for this chef. I want to work under this sommelier. And they're thinking through what types of skills that they're going to need in order to get to where they want to go. If your goal is to become a master sommelier, you want to work with and for, other credible, establishments that have history of employing master sommeliers, or maybe there's a particular chef that you want to learn certain skills from. And due to the nature of the people in this industry, you know, they're a lot more mobile, more willing to take those personal sacrifices of moving or whatever it may be to enhance their skills to get to the next level and to learn. And so for us, we just want to make it easier.
Yeah, and I think you are. So is there anything else coming up that we didn't touch on that you want to share about culinary agents?
Yeah, well, you know, April's an exciting month. We've got this show, which was very exciting for us. We have a couple of guests. We have a couple of industry nights coming up. And tune in later this month for some exciting announcements.
Okay. Teaser.
No, I'm just trying to hook in my next radio show. No, I'm kidding. But we're, you know, we've noticed in the past 6 months, we've gotten a lot more postings and requests from hotels and specialty grocers. So like Whole Foods uses us quite frequently and is successful. And that's gotten us to think more about revamping and making it easier for other segments. You know, we do restaurants are very successful with us, restaurant groups and everything that's kind of related to that. Hotels are built a little differently, you know, while the food service and the restaurants. They also have, you know, different needs in the banquet and catering departments, maybe room service, etc., as well as specialty grocers. The positions are different sometimes, but there are common kind of skill sets and denominators that they can be a viable option for a career move for a lot of people that, you know, are already on our site. So We're really excited to start working closer with those groups and some schools, and yeah, we're just growing.
That's awesome. Excited to hear what's coming up. So, okay, we're going to take another break here. We're going to come back. We're going to do my speed round game, talk some industry news. This is On the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Okay, we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Alice Cheng of Culinary Agents. It's time for my speed round game. So I'm going to name two things and you just pick your preference. It's very easy.
Okay. Should I be scared?
You should not be scared.
Okay.
Here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Wine, beer, or cocktail?
All of the above.
All right. Done. Tasting menu or a la carte?
Tasting menu.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Both.
I like it. Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Filling front of the house positions or back of the house?
Both.
You're very politically correct. How about tech or hospitality industry?
Both. Come on.
Lots of both. Just a pick one. Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, or San Francisco?
Manhattan.
You are quick. I mean, the boats, I like get away with them because I don't have strict rules here, but very good. Okay, so let's talk some industry news. So last week, Food & Wine magazine announced its annual list of the best new chefs of 2015, and they picked 10 restaurants. It turned into 11 chefs because there's a duo at one. And there were two women on the list. And, you know, this is always a list that people look forward to and chefs strive to get on because it's Food & Wine. And they pick out people who really set trends in restaurants across the U.S. And I like seeing the list because I find myself I'm tend to be New York centric, and so it introduces me to people across the country because Bryce Schumann of Bettany was the one New York City chef, but there were Zoe Antonitos of Westward in Seattle. We had Jake Bickenhalp of 42 Grams in Chicago. I mean, it was a good list across the country of Asheville, Indianapolis, Austin, lots of places represented. Were you familiar with any of these chefs?
I was. Well, Bryce, you know, because he's home field advantage for me.
Yeah.
And he's great on top of that. But I was excited to see Bestia on there. I know I had the pleasure of dining at Bestia in L.A. and met Ori. And I really enjoy the food. I was really, I think that, you know, that recent trip to L.A. really showed how their scene is really changing. And that's one of the things that one of the beauties of working in multiple cities at the same time is that you really see the evolution of the dining scene, as well as the talent. And I think in LA, you're seeing a lot of chefs, you know, kind of doing their own thing, breaking out and thriving, and people are seeking them out. You know, Animal and Son of a Gun and Republic, and it's great. I mean, I still had like 7 or 8 that on my list after I ate at, you know, 10-15 places for a 3-day trip. But
it's funny because I was in LA about 5 years ago and I did restaurant hopping and Animal, Son of a Gun. I went to Jose Andres's The Bazaar, and I found the LA dining scene to be really strong and impressive. And service was excellent, too.
Excellent. Yes, I totally agree.
And I guess I was a bit surprised. It was amazing. So.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, chefs like Ori and some of the other folks that are really trying, you know, they're doing their thing and they're paving the way. They're changing the stereotype, too. You know, maybe that has come with maybe the dining scene in a particular city. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, the restaurants you heard about in the LA area were the ones that the celebrities were eating at. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, why else should we eat there just because, you know, some movie star went to eat there? And a lot of these folks are defining their own cuisine and gaining their merits based upon their service and their food. Same with Austin. That scene is like, wow. I mean,
I was going to mention that because I haven't been to Austin in a really long time and I'm due for a trip. And I got lucky because I went to a dinner a few weeks ago at the Chef's Club of New York, and the guest chefs were Michael Fojazek and Gray Nonis, I hope I said his name right, of Olame, which is on this list.
Yeah.
And so I've had their food, and they had this amazing biscuit, and I was happy to see them on the list because I kind of went, I didn't go to the restaurant, but, you know, I experienced what they're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I just put 42 grams on my list of places that I need to hit in
Me
Chicago
too.
When I'm there in a couple weeks. So I think it's great. I agree with you. I think, you know, it was pretty diverse in where they were picking from, but also in the styles of the chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't comment on the others because I haven't eaten there yet. I'll put them on my list. But obviously, being on this there are much smarter people than I who have formed this list.
Well, Kate Crater, who's basically, this is, I would say, a bit of her baby, or she picks, you know, she's a large part of this. And I saw her recently, and she had gotten back from Indianapolis and was telling me how awesome it was. And I'm like,
research and development for this must have been extremely difficult.
I was not surprised when I saw an Indianapolis restaurant on the list. But she's, I don't know how she does it, but she's able to find these amazing chefs all around the country. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
So we'll have to travel and try places.
We'll add that to the list.
Yeah. Okay, then the other article I had, so today in the New York Times, Pete Wells did a double review of Lamani and Estiatorio Milos. He gave them both one star. And Milos has been around since 1997, and Lamani opened in November last year. They are both midtown, expensive Greek restaurants also that are known for seafood. So I've been to Milos, and I had a great meal there, but it is pricey. I haven't been to the new one. Are you familiar with these?
I'm not familiar with, I've never dined at either one of them. You know, that area I'm familiar with. I mean, I worked in Midtown for years and years and years. And you know, it certainly caters to a crowd and an expense budget. And, you know, if that's the profession you're in, if you're in business, you need to entertain. You know, those are very viable options. I think nowadays between, you asked the question, you know, tipping or all-inclusive earlier, and I said both. But, you know, I feel like the dining experience I actually read a lot of the comments as well, and I know it hit upon, you know, the pricing, et cetera. And, you know, I think diners nowadays have enough resources to inform themselves once they to make a decision, a dining decision. And if a diner wants to eat there, and they're able to read all these reviews and prepare themselves for, you know, how much it's going to cost and go for it. So, you know, I think at this stage, there's so many great places to dine. And there's so many resources to help you make that decision that, you know, pick one. I mean, or don't go there.
Well, my favorite line of the review was at the end when he said, "Readers who give any thought to their dinner budgets have no doubt decided to run screaming from Midtown and head straight to Astoria, Queens."
Yeah.
And then he pointed out you can go to Astoria Seafood and, you know, like basically you can get great seafood and Greek food at a lesser price.
Right.
But there's certainly an audience for these type of restaurants.
Absolutely. And there are visitors. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Maybe people are here on, you know, on vacation or celebrating something and they want to go to a high-end Greek,
right,
seafood restaurant, and those seem like two viable options.
Yes, yes. Agreed.
And maybe they don't know how to get to Queens. I don't know.
Probably the people going there don't know how to get to Queens. Okay, great. We're going to take one more break and come back. I'm going to do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
And all of the music on today's show by Mamarazzi. If you're enjoying it, that's Mamarazzi. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience, which this week is brought to you by One House Hospitality Headhunters, who you can follow on Facebook. And One House is spelled one and H-A-U-S, or anyone looking for that. Now, this week I was away in Buenos Aires, and I dined at Casa Salt Shaker. Here's the rundown. The location, an apartment in Barrio Norte in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The concept, a closed restaurant, communal dining experience with a tasting menu paired with wines. The chef and owner, Dan Perlman. Why did I go? Because I wanted to try this unique restaurant concept. My experience. I arrived at 8:45 and was greeted by Dan's partner, Henry, and led to the patio where the group was enjoying a cocktail. There were 10 of us in total, representing New York, Texas, California, and Switzerland. We sat at a communal table in the dining room and shared stories and compared notes about our trips to Buenos Aires. Dan joined us for conversation between courses, and it was a lovely evening. What did I get? Dan prepared a 5-course tasting menu that focused on Mediterranean and Andean cuisines. The menu was presented in Spanish and included wine pairings, which I skipped as I'm not a drinker. I'm going to give now the English names of the dishes we had so I don't butcher the Spanish language. So dinner began with house-baked bread and smoked tomato cheesecake. It was followed by shellfish soup, eggplant strudel, and chicken with jalapeno potatoes, and lastly, a passion fruit and quince tart. My take? Everything was muy delicioso. And most of the dishes had a little kick to them, as Dan cooks with spice compared to traditional Argentine cuisine. My favorite courses were the savory cheesecake, silky soup, and wonderful fruit dessert, but really everything was excellent. The scene? A relaxing dinner in a home. Perfect for food and wine lovers seeking a one-of-a-kind dining experience with conversation with new friends. Interesting tidbit. Dan formerly lived in New York City and worked as a wine director at restaurants including Felidia, Veritas, and AZ. After a vacation to Buenos Aires in 2005, where he met Henry, he moved there and started Casa Salt Shaker. Personal fun fact. Over dinner, Dan and I figured out that I had worked for the PR company that represented AZ in 2001 when Dan was the wine director and manager there. Small world indeed. The cost, $70, not including tax and tip. I don't think there's tax, but you can tip. And would I go back? See. That's my Spanish for yes. Website, casasaltshaker.com. So it was very cool. Across the country, reunited with a chef from New York.
Yeah, I recognized that name, actually, when you were saying that.
Yeah, no, I thought I recognized it, too, when I signed up to go, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But we figured out. We
worked
together. Yeah, and it was excellent. I would recommend it to anyone in Buenos Aires. Okay, so getting to the final part of the show, so it's time for the final question. Now, my next guest is Joe DiStefano of Chopsticks and Marrow, which is a Queens-based food writer known for his New York City food tours and gastronomic adventures. Speaking of Queens, right? This guy knows his stuff. So, Alice, can you ask a question for Joe?
Sure. Joe, you are known for your Queens food tours. If you could have someone show you around anywhere in the world, where would you like to visit and eat?
That's a great question. I love it. Well, I'm excited to have him on, and thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Really great to have you here, and I wish you the best with Culinary Agents. It's a great concept, and I'm impressed with all you've done already.
Thank you so much. And everybody, come April 21st, Hill Country Barbecue in Brooklyn,
okay.
10 p.m. to 1 a.m. RSVP is in Eventbrite. And everyone who comes, we will donate $1 to the Heritage Radio Network Kickstarter campaign.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
I've been talking with Alice Chang of Culinary Agents. Her website is culinaryagents.com, on social media at Culinary Agents at Alice Y. Chang. My social media at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. As a reminder, all of our shows are archived on heritageradionetwork.org. We are on Stitcher and iTunes. And please support our Kickstarter campaign for our website rebuild project. I hope you will become a backer. Thanks to my engineer, Jack, and to Alice and everyone out there listening. I'm Sherry Bayer, and we'll be back next Wednesday with another live show. Hope you'll tune in then. Thanks for being part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.